Is anyone here lonely? One out of two Australians actually embarrassed to say they are lonely. While I'm preparing this sermon, I'm trying to find myself if I experienced loneliness for the past years in my life. And then I just realized that's why I went to the Philippines last June. I miss all my friends, co-workers, co-missionaries who I grew up and mentors me. So when I went there, I spent the whole week. I went to the Philippines just for 7 days. And every day I spent time with my fellow co-workers. And I said to me, I asked myself when I'm looking on this, probably the reason why I went to the Philippines is because I feel lonely. I have my wife, I have my kids, I have the church. But being alone and being lonely is different. Loneliness is inside. And sometimes we can't accept that we experience loneliness. Even we have a loving wife, loving kids. But sometimes there are times that we miss that part. And where can we go to? And who is that person that I'm going to say it? Well, I always talk to Beverly, my wife, to Kendall or Joshua. But I never thought of asking someone from the church, for example, approach Alan, I'm lonely, or anyone from the church. Always I'm confined within my circle of families and not to the whole church. One lady in the church, she raised her kids, 4 kids by herself. And she said, to the darkest days in her life, the church became her family, who sustained her, who encouraged her, and still coming to church and serving the Lord. One guy who's close into our hearts, kicked out by his wife, working at night, sleeping in his car for months, taking a shower in workplace, eating McDonald's, KFC, and Burger King every day, morning, lunchtime, dinner. In the evening, when he gets home early in the morning, he parks his car to the place where he thinks is safe and sleep in the car. A full-time worker with a family, but seems a homeless guy who sleeps in his car. Where he can go to? Of course, to his family, to the church. After COVID, loneliness becomes rampant, and this suggests that churches are the unique group of people that can provide this kind of cure in loneliness. The Surgeon General of the United States says that there is, epidemic of loneliness and isolation. After the pandemic, they said there's an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And even in UK, they appoint a member of the cabinet, the position as Minister of Loneliness. Followed by Japan, they also employed the Minister of Loneliness. The job is to try to reduce loneliness and social isolation among the Japanese population. Australia spent $5.5 million to research to reduce impact of loneliness on chronic disease. Loneliness is very rampant. But one journalist said in this article, journalist Nicholas Christoph, unlike other pandemics, we don't need scientists to throw themselves into developing a vaccine that would inject into your shoulders and then, you're not lonely anymore. You're injected by this vaccine of happiness and fulfillment abundant in life. So if you want to have that vaccine, there is none. And Christoph observes that the cure for loneliness lies actually within our grasp. The Christian, the followers of Christ, knows the cure of loneliness. We know how to deal with loneliness. It's not a vaccine. but it is a relationship that we had with Christ. But sometimes we know that the cure of loneliness, we know the cure of loneliness, but even that, our neighbors, even within the church, we felt that, like what I experienced. This is why we need to look on, again, the community, the church, where God has given us, where we belong, and we can find the cure for loneliness, for not being, yes, sometimes we're alone, but we'll never feel loneliness. CCOs, the church, the network of churches that actually we belong, they said, we exist to serve, support, and strengthen an increasing network of evangelical churches across Australia to serve God and impact their communities for Christ. The church is actually the source, the group of people who can help not only within the church, but the community as well, to deal with loneliness and other problems in life. So Paul presented this in Ephesians. He said, there is a group of people. I would like to go back on this truth that Paul mentioned in Ephesians and find the truth about who we are as a church. Paul said, there is a two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, who are, there is a dividing wall of hostility. Although Paul mentioned that the Gentiles without hope, without God, and they're far away, and Paul said, Christ bring them near, and then the Jews and the Gentiles becomes one. And that is, Ephesians 2:14 says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. So the Jews, the Gentiles, God, Jesus break the dividing wall of hostility, and he created this one new humanity. The Jews, Gentiles, becomes one. No more Jews, no more Gentiles. And then in the book of Ephesians, we can find that the purpose is to create himself a new humanity, and that is his church and his body, where you and I belongs. But when we look on the book of Ephesians, we can find these words scattered all over. That new humanity, that the church that we belong, we have one citizenship. No longer foreigners. We are all citizens in heaven. There's no more oath-taking, no more exams. We are all one citizen. One citizen. One family, one household. I think about that one family type of thing. Alan and I are not related. Alan is low. I'm Ariel Cinco. Cinco is much higher. Number five, low. Lower. Yeah. But we are not related. But we can be together. We are more than related because the blood of Christ dwells in us. We are not all related, but we come together because it is the blood of Christ that brings us all together. And I think my blood, the blood of Christ, is much better than my blood. And that makes us one family, one foundation, which is the cornerstone, is Christ. One body. When we look at one body, the concept of one body is everyone is part of the body, and you cannot reject parts of your body. You cannot say, I don't need my ear. And because we are part of one body, I cannot say, I don't like Alan. Why? Because he is part of my body. We cannot reject each other because we should also be loved each other because we are part of one body. This is how Paul is presenting this new humanity, this church that we are all belong. One hope, one faith. We have only one Lord, one baptism, one God, one Father. When we look on those scattered words in Ephesians, tell me, how can we reject each other? How can it be everyone can be united? And how strong the relationship that we should have as a follower of Christ, as member of this body? One citizen, one family, one foundation, one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God, one Father. We are all one in Christ. And that sense of unity, that God united all things in Him through Christ, if someone within the church feels lonely, you have actually probably someone sitting beside you is the cure for your loneliness, that you just need to speak out and she tell her or tell him, I feel lonely today. Church is not like a retail shop or a bank or something, a customer service. When someone comes, how are you today? I'm good. And then, okay, grab your bag. When we come to church and we say, how are you? We should be prepared to say, to prepare to respond to that question. It's an intentional asking, supposed to be, how are you? And you're willing to listen to what he's going to say. And if he says something, you're about to grab a cup of coffee and sit with that person in the awning and spend time with him. That's the family that we belong. That is the church. It's a saying, how are you? Have you experienced like shaking hands with someone? You're walking in the church and you saw that person. I'm going to greet this person. You're excited. And then when you come inside the church, you shake his hands, and then hold your hands, and he saw someone, and his eyes is on the other person, but he's shaking, hello, how are you? And then he just walk away. If you experience that, what would you feel? Honestly, I experienced that many times. Shaking my hands, but his eyes is away from me. How can he shake his hands, his eyes away from me? That's not good. That's not welcoming. The welcoming in the church is supposed to be not only in the foyer, but within the church. And that is why our church is actually centered in Christ. A church in a community which Christ is our center, Christ is being proclaimed because we know that the cure for loneliness is Christ. That if someone have Christ in his heart, then loneliness can be cured. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every time I need you. Every time we feel lonely, come to Christ, pray. But speak to someone, speak to your friends, call a friend. I encourage you, call the church, call the elders, call your small group leaders. We as a church are supposed to be welcoming, looking after every member of our church and our community. The local church should be a welcome community. Romans 15:7, it says, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. I always admire how Paul presented this, the way, the standard level that he always put in. Love your neighbors like the way God loves you. Forgive them the way God forgives you. Welcome them the way God welcomes you. It's a very high standard. I don't know if we can reach the standard that God has set, but it's something that reminds us the way I should welcome others, the way I should accept others, even they're not lovable, I'm going to love them in the love of Christ. Well, if you need to show extra grace required, then you should do. It is because of Christ's love. For the love of Christ compels us. Even Paul says, some are weak, I have become weak, so I might lead them to Christ. I have become like every person, so that in every way I might lead some to Christ. Let us welcome everyone, accept everyone. But sometimes it's really hard. The reality is difficult, and yet the standard that God had told us, welcome them as Christ has welcomed you. And we should live wisely among those who are not believers and within our church as well. Make the most every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response to everyone. I just want to focus on gracious conversation. When I was young, I didn't come to church for a year maybe. I was drawn to my friends smoking, drinking. And then I went on one Sunday to church, I felt coming back to church. As I entered the church, the wife of the pastor told me, "Oh, you're still alive." Okay. Then I went out, and then I stayed outside the church, coming back to church for another few months, because they thought I'm already dead. Well, that's a joke, but it hurts. I don't know how we're going to approach someone who's been outside for the church for a long time, but being welcoming church, loving and caring church, the way we converse with those persons. Sometimes, this one thing I'm with the loneliness is that, for someone who is in need or struggling, is sometimes they are bombarded with so many suggestions, so many advices, so many things that told them by their families, and they just want someone to sit down with them and listen and don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just listen. Just sit beside that person. And you will find after the conversation, thank you for listening to me. Because that's the only thing they need. Listening. Live with them. Spend time quality with them. Don't talk to them while your phone is open. You have so many Facebook friends. How many friends do you have in Facebook? Are they really your friends? They said, the more you spend time with your Facebook, social media, that's a proof that you're actually lonely. Loneliness, actually, one of the proof that you're experiencing loneliness is you spend so much time on your social media. Because the cure for loneliness is engaging, deep conversation, deep relationship, a conversation that will lead us into a more deep relationship. And we are the light in the community. They know that every time they see the church, this is the place where I can find peace, cure for my loneliness. I don't know if Jane receiving so many calls. When I was in Mondruitt, I received calls every day, asking for food, asking for money, so many things. Someone is going to sue me because I cannot help his children to change their life. And I said, why should I? I can't do that. I said, so many things that so many people call. And one guy called me, he's in the middle of Melbourne and Canberra, and the car is broken, and her wife took all her money, and she needs money to put petrol in his car. I said, where are you? I'm in the middle of Melbourne and Canberra. And I said, how did you find my number? So I searched my number, and I found it in a website wherein you can find all the help. You have the list there, and my number is there. Oh, that's why I'm receiving all these calls, because my number is on that website. Because when we went to Mount Druitt, the hands and feet numbers were there, and my number was there, so I'm receiving calls every day from different places and asking for money. But the thing is, one thing they know is the church is the place where they can find this. The church, they can get money from it, or they can find assistance or something. Because they, although probably the way they look is different, but the reality is we as a church is the place where people can find peace, solution to their problems. Why? because they see us how our relationship with Christ and our life as being blessed by Him. Dr. Michelle Lim, one of the research leaders in the Ending Loneliness Together, said, "Feeling more connected was not as simple as just joining a club or a sporting team. In fact, we look at sports participation and it did nothing for loneliness," she said. There's so many organizations in Blacktown, community groups. If we're going to ask those persons who are lonely or struggling and ask them, what community group that you're going to be part of, that you're going to? And if you're going to put Kings Park Community Church on that list, do you think they will choose Kings Park Community Church or the sporting club or the other things? Well, there are lots of, probably some of them actually, getting support from different communities. But from the people in the hands and feet, Tracy is here, some of them don't go to hands and feet because of their food. They just want to have a cup of coffee, a biscuits, and a chat, and a hug, and just a conversation. That's all they want. Not actually the food. Because they love conversation. They want deep, meaning conversation. A few days ago, I'm having a lunch in Blacktown. While having a lunch, I saw one guy sitting near the escalator. And I'm trying to remember his name, because he goes to Huntsville every Wednesday, Thursday during the time for many years. And I pray, "Lord, please help me to remember that person's name." And after I ate my lunch, I went out, and God just popped up the name. I went to where he's sitting. He said, "Loreto, how are you?" And then he smiled at me. And then, "Have you been at church?" "Oh, I have not been in church for a long time." And that moment, when I called this name, and he appreciated that for many years, God helped me to remember his name. That deep conversation beside the train station, the escalator, for him is so meaningful. And for me, it's also meaningful, because I'm really happy to connect with that person. And the church, we as followers of Christ, is the source, can be the source of those needs in the community. The last thing is the church in the community in action. Probably the best example in Acts 2:42-47, when the church do lots of things. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, fellowship, communion, prayer, meeting together every day, had everything in common, sold property to help anyone in need, and my favorite part, meal together with gladness and sincere hearts. Worshiping God, the community grows in numbers. Why is that my favorite? Because that is actually deep conversations happens when your stomach is full. When you have so much time to spend enjoying the meal, the fellowship, the connection. We have a visitor one Sunday at church, and the next following Sunday, we told them, not following Sunday, the day after, Monday, we told that lady, "Let's eat together, let's have a meal." So we went for a meal Monday night. He came on Sunday. Monday, we went for a meal. The following Sunday, she went back to church. The following Sunday, she went back to church. Last night, she was with the women's group having dinner in Penrith. Because of that connection, a deep conversation that we can have with those people who are in need, who are struggling, that would lead them to Christ. If anyone in the church is experiencing loneliness, not only loneliness, but difficulties in life, don't go to somewhere else. Don't call a friend. Probably the person sitting beside you can be of help to you. We are a family. We're not strangers anymore. We're brothers and sisters related with the blood of Christ. And we should be open to receive these thoughts. And we should be open to express our feelings to other person and start that meaningful relationship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that we as a church are being united by your Son, Jesus, who loves us so much. United so that we can help each other, support each other, not only within the church, but the community outside our church. Bless us, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. For our communion, Paul said in Ephesians, the Gentiles without God, without hope, and far away. We are all of the things that he mentioned is true. We don't without God, without hope. But because of Christ, we come to know who God is and what he did at the cross. He rose again from the dead. He died and he rose again from the dead and he gave us eternal life. But for me, for this communion, I would like to encourage everyone to seek that meaningful relationship with Christ. If you feel lonely today, if you have difficulties in life or struggling, you ask him before him. When I was a kid, they said, when you go to communion, it's all worshiping God, remembering him. That's what they told me. But many times I go to communion and open my heart aches, open the pains. It doesn't seem like a worshiping type of thing. But I felt that when I opened my heart to Christ and he's talking to me, and then I felt his presence, his love, and his care, then I worship him because of that. So I encourage everyone today, as we do before we take the bread and the juice, we're going to have an open time of worship to thank God for the relationship that we have in him. And if you want to open your heart to him, please do so, because this is what the family is all about. This is what Christ wants us to do. Let's have our open time of worship.